Living Theology, friends. The Church, 19. Teachers in the Church, 1. As discussed in the letter last week, the Church is commanded to be involved in making disciples and teaching them to observe all the commandments of Jesus, Matthew 28:19-20. This is done within the Church by teachers who are called for this ministry. It's necessary, then, to know who the Bible states are allowed to teach within a church. The Bible has a lot to say about teachers and teaching in the church. The basic Greek word for to teach is didaktikos. This word is used twice in the Bible, 1 Timothy 3:2, given the hospitality, apt to teach, and 2 Timothy 2:24, gentle unto all men, apt to teach. The verse in 1 Timothy is related to the qualifications of an elder. The second verse is a portion of the characteristics of every servant of the Lord. Another tense of the same Greek word is used in John 6:45, they shall all be taught of God, and 1 Corinthians 2:13, not words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Another form of the Greek word for teach is didasko, and it's used 98 times in the New Testament. Some examples are Matthew 4:23, teaching in their synagogues and preaching, 1 Corinthians 4:17, as I teach everywhere in every church, Colossians 3:16, teaching every man in all wisdom, 2 Timothy 2:2, who shall be able to teach others also. In Revelation, there are two uses of this word in the context of actual churches. The first usage is to the church at Pergamon, Revelation 2:14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. In this church, there were some people teaching concepts far from the true teachings of Jesus. It is not known if these teachers were members, but this passage clearly warns that the church leadership must exercise scriptural leadership concerning teachings within the church. It's very easy for false teaching to creep into a church. When Christ reprimanded the church for holding the doctrine of Balaam, he was unhappy with the church for having let such false teaching enter it. The church is also warned about false doctrines in the following, 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. Note the sarcasm here by Paul. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The church is clearly in disobedience to God, and thus in sin, if it does not carefully and prayerfully measure against the whole counsel of Scripture the teaching programs that it approves. Now consider the second teaching in Revelation, which is to the church at Thyatira. Revelation 2:20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Here again, a person is teaching false doctrines to church members, and the leadership was allowing it. Jesus said that he has a few things against them because they allowed the false teaching to proceed. Jezebel was a self-proclaimed prophetess, a false prophetess that the people accepted to teach in their congregation. From all the above, it is abundantly clear that the church must be very careful about who teaches within its jurisdiction. Thus, the church must establish some guidelines and control over its teaching programs. Every church member who comes forward and wants to teach should not be allowed to do so just because he's a church member. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, as Jezebel did. Since a member could actually be a servant of Satan, the church cannot let membership alone be a satisfactory criteria for teaching. Our study of teaching is not complete, for all that has been examined so far is a verb form, but at this point it seems obvious that church membership should be a necessary but not sufficient requirement for teachers of regular programs within the church. At least with a member, we know what the person professes to believe when he joins a church, and that he serves under the authority of the local church, or at least he states that he is. There is another aspect of teaching that is very clear in the Bible. Scripture is absolutely clear that women are not to teach men or to exercise spiritual authority over a man, 1 Timothy 2:12, in the educational structure of the church. It is quite clear in Scripture that men and women are equal in the sight of the Lord spiritually, Galatians 3:28, and that men and women have very different ministries or roles within the church. The local church must not confuse spiritual equality with spiritual function. Priscilla is sometimes identified as a biblical example of a woman teaching a man, Apollos. However, her authority was associated with the teaching ministry of her husband, Aquila. Women have an equal importance in the church with men, but different tasks to perform. Their teaching role includes other women and children. An excellent book on this subject is The Role of Women in the Church by Charles Ryrie, Moody Press. Thus far, we've raised two requirements for teachers within the local church. One, the church must be alert to false teachers, and only church members should teach in regular church programs. Two, women are not allowed to teach men in programs over which the church has jurisdiction. If the Lord wills, this topic will be continued next week. God bless you.